I invite you to remain standing for the reading of our gospel this morning. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not there with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hands in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. My dad has been a Cleveland Indians fan his entire life. He has memories of attending games as a child. And I have memories of attending games in the near empty old stadium as a young kid, when my dad was dedicated enough to drive a wife and two young daughters 2 hours each way to watch a horrible losing team. To this day, he watches or listens to most of the games. If you were to look up his employee bio on his company's website, it says that if he wasn't an accountant, he would have wanted to be the radio announcer for the Cleveland Indians. So he's not a fair-weather fan. And yet, if you ever ask him how the Indians are doing, he'll say the same thing. The tribe's in the dumper. Now, often, this makes sense. When they're doing poorly, as is fairly common, it makes sense to believe that the tribe's in the dumper. But even when things are looking up, my dad is still skeptical. If the pitchers are doing well, the tribe's in the dumper because the hitting is bad, or vice versa. Even during the win streak several years ago, according to my dad, they were just peaking too early, and so they were soon going to be back in the dumper, which, I mean, he was right about, so you can't blame him. And I guess you really can't blame him for always believing that the tribe is in the dumper, because in his whole life, they've never given him a good reason to believe otherwise. And it makes sense to have some skepticism about something that you've never experienced. Because why should you be expected to believe something that has never happened? Why should my dad believe the Indians are ever going to win the World Series when it's never happened in his own life? Why should we believe that something is going to change when it's always been that way? Why should we believe that something would work that has never worked before? And why should we believe that Jesus has been resurrected when nobody in all of history has ever been resurrected before? That's the question that brings us to Thomas this morning. Now, Thomas often gets a bad rap when we talk about him in church. We call him Doubting Thomas, as though he is the only guy in the whole world who would find it difficult to believe that Jesus was resurrected. Let's think about this scene for a moment. It's the night of Easter, and 10 of the disciples have locked themselves in a room together. Judas is already gone, and for some reason, Thomas isn't there with them. Now, we don't know why Thomas isn't there, but just note for a second that the rest of the disciples have responded to Easter by locking themselves in a room. Meanwhile, we don't know where Thomas is. He could have just missed the memo and locked himself in a different room. But there's at least a chance that he's out there in the world somewhere, not locked away in fear. There's at least a chance that he's out there trying to make some sense of his life, trying to figure out what life looks like now that Jesus isn't there with him anymore. But then, while Thomas is away, the locked-in, fearful disciples have an experience. Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up through their locked door. Jesus shows up through their fear. And Jesus grants them peace. And Jesus tries to show them that resurrection is indeed real, that he really is alive now. And this resurrection, it means that God is going to keep showing up. When times get difficult, when life is fearful, when skepticism has taken over hope, Jesus shows up. Because that's exactly what Jesus does. In our crisis, in our questions, in our confusions, when we're trying to figure out our new normal, Jesus shows up. And so then you can almost picture the scene. The disciples, they end up finding Thomas, and the disciples are all like, "We saw Jesus. He's been resurrected." And Thomas is like, "I'm not so sure about this." And really, can you blame him? After all, nobody has ever been resurrected before. And if the disciples really saw this and they really believe Jesus is resurrected, what are they still doing hanging out in locked rooms? Thomas has some questions. And yes, Thomas has some doubts. And Thomas isn't so sure about what all this means now for how he lives his life. But frankly, it would be more shocking if he didn't. If he just upped and believed it all, I would have some questions about Thomas. And look, like the rest of the disciples, and look, it seems like the rest of the disciples are okay with Thomas and his questions, because they're still letting Thomas hang out around them a week later when something happens again. And the locked in and fearful disciples have another experience. This time Thomas is there. Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up through the locked door. Jesus shows up through their fear. And Jesus grants them peace. And Jesus tries to show them one more time that resurrection is real, that he really is alive now. And this resurrection, it means that God is going to keep showing up when times get difficult and when life is fearful, when skepticism has taken over hope. Jesus shows up. Because that's exactly what Jesus does. In our crisis, in our questions, in our confusion, when we're trying to figure out our new normal, Jesus shows up. And now Thomas has seen it, and Thomas believes. He no longer has to be skeptical. He has a reason to hope. He has seen Jesus. It's real. He's experienced it. All because Jesus did what Jesus does. Jesus showed up. So the core good news of this passage is that Jesus shows up. Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus is alive. Jesus shows up. This scripture is not so much about Thomas and his doubt or the disciples and their fear. It's one of the first stories that begins to tell us of a post-Easter world where Jesus will always show up in crisis, in disaster, in fear, in doubt, and in questions. It starts to open up the possibility of a world where forgiveness is always possible. It's the beginning of a story where brokenness is always made whole, where death never has the final word, and where love always wins. Resurrection means that Jesus shows up. And if Jesus is always going to show up, what does that mean for us? Well, let's look at what it meant for Thomas and for the rest of the disciples. So first, for Thomas, it meant that it was okay for him to question and for him to doubt. It was okay for him to be unsure. It was okay that it took him a little longer to get on board. Because Jesus was always going to show up. He didn't need Thomas to stop asking his questions to make that happen. And for us, we're going to have times in our lives when we're going to be like Thomas. We're going to have periods where we question and where we doubt. We're going to have times when the crisis and the disaster is just too much. We're going to have times when we're going to be more skeptical than hopeful. There are going to be parts of our faith that at times seem crazy to believe. We're going to face things in our lives that we don't understand. We're going to want to ask God why. We're going to have times when we are like Thomas, when we doubt and when we question. And when you have those times, it doesn't mean that your faith is weak. In fact, it actually means that your faith is strong. Strong enough to question, strong enough to doubt, because you know that Jesus is still going to show up. And if you haven't experienced that yet in your life, trust me, you will. Maybe it happens when you face a personal crisis. Maybe it happens when you lose a loved one. Maybe it happens when a relationship ends unexpectedly. Maybe it happens during a global pandemic. But eventually, you're going to have questions and doubts. And when that happens, Thomas shows us that it's okay. You can ask those difficult questions. You can sit in that doubt because Jesus is still going to show up. So when you find yourself like Thomas, go ahead and say those questions out loud. If there's something about faith that you have never quite been sure about, ask about it. You can email me and ask the question. I can't promise that I'll have the answer, but I'll listen and I'll try. If there's something happening in your life that makes you not sure about this whole church thing, that's okay. We're not going to test your beliefs at the door or test your beliefs when you click on the live stream. Church is a place for questions. Church is a place for doubts. Church is a place for people who are unsure. Because Jesus shows up here. Not because of anything we have done. Not because we have it all together. But because that's who Jesus is. So when you find yourself like Thomas, ask your questions and have your doubts. Because Jesus is still there in those questions and in those doubts. Jesus is always going to show up for us. And so we can be like Thomas. And we can also be like the disciples. Now, the disciples, they're not perfect in this story. They're far from it. They get scared. They lock themselves in rooms. They fail to really understand the hope of resurrection. But they do one thing really well. They welcome Thomas. When Thomas shows back up after they first see Jesus and they tell him that they've seen Jesus and Thomas says he's not sure he believes it, they still welcome Thomas. They don't say, Thomas, you don't believe what we believe, so we don't want to hang out with you anymore. They don't abandon Thomas as he goes through this tough time because the next week they're all there together again. And so for us, when you aren't finding yourself like Thomas, you need to be like the disciples. Be supportive of those who are going through their Thomas moments because you've been there and you'll be there again. And it's often through the community that surrounds us, like it was for the community that surrounded Thomas, that Jesus shows up again. So when people around you, when people in your community, and when people in our church have questions and doubts and uncertainties, we're supposed to be like the disciples and support them. This means we continue to welcome people who have questions and doubts. This means that we aren't the place where you have to have it all together or have to have it all figured out to belong. This means that we walk alongside people in times of crisis. And this happens in all sorts of ways. Like if you're in a small group and somebody asks a question about the Bible that they're struggling to understand or accept, instead of saying, oh, well, I know that answer, it's really easy, you listen to that question and you give it time and thoughtfulness because that person has a reason from their life where that's confusing or hard to believe, just like you probably have questions about things because of your life that are confusing or hard to believe. Or if you have a friend who you notice hasn't been around church or watching online or at your group, and you ask them about it, and they say they're really struggling with belief right now, you don't tell them, well, you just have to start going to church. You offer to go get a cup of coffee with them and listen. And you don't judge who a person is or where they came from when they show up at our church. You welcome them to be a part of this community that learns and questions together. Because in this community, we believe that questions are welcomed. In this community, we believe that questions are a sign of a deep faith. We believe that times of doubt and uncertainty are normal. And most importantly, we believe that because of the resurrection, that because of Easter, Jesus will always show up. It makes sense to be skeptical of something you've never experienced, whether it be the Indians winning the World Series or Jesus rising from the dead. And so it's normal to ask questions. It's normal to doubt. In the case of Thomas, even when he doubted and even when he questioned, Jesus still showed up. And that promise, it stands true for us today. Because of the resurrection, Jesus always shows up. Jesus is always at work. So we can ask our questions and have our doubts because it's not going to stop Jesus. And we can be a community where questions and doubts are welcomed because that's exactly the type of place Jesus shows up in. Resurrection means that Jesus shows up. When we're in crisis, when things go wrong, when we have questions, when we can't even seem to notice that Jesus is there, Jesus shows up. That's the good news of Easter. That's the good news of resurrection. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that through the gift of Easter, that through the hope of resurrection, Jesus still shows up. Even in the midst of our doubts, our questions, our crisis, our disaster, Jesus is there. Lord, when we are experiencing times like Thomas, help us know and see that the questions and the doubts are normal, that they're part of our faith that deepens our connection to you. And Lord, help us to be a place like the disciples, a place that welcomes questions, a place open to doubts, a place that walks alongside those who need Jesus to show up in their lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.